Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of 3 John, 3 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at the second verse there. And if you haven't already, we always encourage you to do it. Download the Journey Church app. It's in the Google Play Store. It's in the Apple Store. It's free. And if you click on the app and you kind of scroll down, there's a follow along with the message section that I know many of you take advantage of, but inside of that, it has all of the scriptures that we use in every talk, has all of the main points. It also has the ability for you to add your own notes to the main points. You can email them to yourselves. Technology's insane, y'all. And so you can, I just encourage you to take advantage of that if you don't already. I know many people do, but we got the scriptures for you there. We got them for you on the screen. We got you covered. We're going to look at this verse here today to kick off this talk, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, and I want to be Presbyterian today and ask us all to read this at the same time, all right? And so let's start here. 1, 2, 3. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the power behind your word. And Lord, that's what we ask, Lord, today. As your word goes in us, let it just come to life inside of us. And Lord, as I give out your word here today, I pray that's all I give out. Lord, I'm here to be an echo of what you want to say to us, Lord. I'm not here to provide my voice. I'm here, God, to speak your voice here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are opening up a brand new series here today at Journey Church that's going to take us here into the coming weeks called Juice. Are there any juicers in the house today? Come on, somebody. Who loves the juice? Like, does anybody love to get their juice on, right? Juicing has become, over the last 15 years, all the rage of dieting, and it has become a huge priority from within the health and wellness community. And I remember my first experience with juicing was when we were youth pastors in Arizona about 12, 13 years ago. And my wife, who has always leaned toward healthy eating, a healthy lifestyle, she grabbed on to juicing, and she started to learn things like that the what we put into our bodies is actually of great importance. Surprisingly, I really didn't know that. I just stuffed myself full of cupcakes and Dr. Pepper. That was really all that was in my refrigerator. But you know, she was like, you know, look, Jesse, we got to start putting good into our body, and not just a little bit of good. We got to start putting a lot of bit of good into our bodies. And so I'm like, so what are we going to do? So she went and straight up bought a juicer. And man, when she bought that juicer, she went to Juice Town, y'all. Like, we juiced everything. She went to juicing oranges and celery and radishes and juicing all kinds of stuff. I remember one day I was walking in and she was juicing carrots. And when I walked into the kitchen, she said, Jesse, how often do you eat carrots? And I was like, well, I mean, I eat them any time that they are around a pot roast, you know, like in the gravy, like, man, I'll destroy some carrots. And she's like, you know, you need to eat carrots. And she started getting upset at me. And you ever been in trouble, like when you didn't do anything but just make a presence into the room? Like, that's what it was like. She started yelling at me, man. I was there just to get a cupcake and a Dr. Pepper. But she's like, you need to be eating carrots, man. And I'm just like, back up off me. And she's like, no, listen, the retina of the eye needs vitamin A. Did you know that? That the retina of the eye needs and requires vitamin A? Or if you don't get enough vitamin A, it causes blindness blindness and poor vision. Look at you with your poor vision self. You need some vitamin A. She's like, carrots are rich in beta carotene, which is something that turns into vitamin A, and it ministers directly to your eyesight. And she's just starting to go on and on and on. And so she's juicing while she's yelling at me, and she's juicing carrots. She said, how long would it take you to eat 5 carrots? And I'm like, I don't know, probably 2-3 days. I mean, I don't know, you know. And she's like, exactly. Like with this, you don't have to chew all these carrots. You don't have to muscle down these carrots. And she's just juicing, rah, all this mush is coming out of this stuff, and then juice is coming out of the other side. And she's like, look at this mush. You don't even need this mush. This thing right here is the juice. You need to be drinking the juice. And I'm like, whatever. I don't know. This is a scam. Everybody's just trying to get our money. I was like, I'll go study this out for myself. She's like, go do it. She's juicing. And I went out there. Man, I remember I went online. I'm digging. I got some journals. And I hate it when she's right. You know, I found out, man, that juicing essentially shows us like why we need these fruits and vegetables. Like, they show us why we need it. And not just why we need it, but it shows us particularly what in these fruits and veggies that we need and what they do for our bodies. And really the health and wellness community will start to show 3 main purposes to juicing. And they're, number one, they say juicing is the best way to get your daily servings of fruits and vegetables. The best way to get your daily serving. With juicing, they say you absorb nutrients better with less digestion. Because you're juicing it, you're getting the nutrients, your body doesn't have to work to break it down. It just goes right into your body in that right way. And it says juicing also strengthens your immune system because you're getting all that your body needs through it. Now, some of you look at me like right now, like, is this an actual like juicing sermon? Like, is this why we're here? Is this guy really going to stand up here and talk about juicing? No. But for 3 easy payments of $59.99, this juicer can be yours. No, I'm just messing with you. No, but I just begin to think about the parallels of juicing and the parallels that juicing has with our faith walk. And you got to understand, to me, I mean, as a public speaker, as a pastor, as a preacher, you know, everything to me in life and life itself is a sermon illustration. Like, everything. I mean, I got a juicer. I'm going to use it for a point, you know, to preach in a message. I use everything as a sermon illustration. And I just begin to think about the parallels. I begin to think about those things in life that we need, you know, for our bodies, that we need to be in good health, that we need to be putting into our bodies. And I begin to then think about the spiritual parallels, the spiritual health and wellness part of our life, in the things that God says that we need to spiritually grow. Did you know that there are things that you need in your life? Let me say this again. There are things that you need in your life for you to spiritually grow, just like there are things you need in your life for you to physically grow and be of good health. That there are spiritual vitamins out there for you that we need in order to have 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, spiritual health and wellness, right? He said, listen, dear friends, I wish above all here that you would be in good health, that your soul, that your spirit, boys, he's wishing health in every aspect of our life. And I begin to think about how so often we don't put into our lives every day what we're supposed to have a long-lasting and successful relationship with Christ. Let me go back to the juicer here, because that's what juicing does for our bodies. Juicing makes sure you, everybody say makes sure. Juicing makes sure. Everybody say it one more time. makes sure. Juicing makes sure you are cramming those needed nutrients into your everyday lives. Like I'm talking above and beyond. I'm talking whole nother level nutrients, like more than even what you need, giving them to you, ensuring that you have them in your life. Like Missy, man, she makes this stuff called carrot juice where she'll juice a dozen carrots and make some apples, and then she will jam those, she will cram those into me and the boys' lives. And I'm just like, back up off the juice, you know. I looked it up. I only need one carrot a day. That's what I do. That's all I need is one. But I got a dozen of these things swimming around in me every day. Right? She's looking at me like, more than enough is good for you. And then she like does a scan of my body like there's something wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? You'll be all right. And she's like, you know, listen, we need to make sure. Juicing makes sure. Everybody say make sure. Juicing makes sure you are putting into your body what your body needs to grow and be in good health. And so the point of this series is to equip you. It's to push you in making sure that you are putting the right nutrients, that you are putting the right spiritual vitamins into your spiritual life. The purpose of this series is to make sure that you are drinking the juice, that you are juiced up in your walk after God, that you are filled up with more than enough of what God says you need for you to live in 3 John health and wellness. Because so often, and may I say, more often than not, we put so many other things into our lives that can end up compromising our spiritual health and wellness. Why is that? I think a big answer to that question is because there are so many other things out there for us to put into our lives, for us to ingest into our lives. Let me go back to our bodies here. How many know we need to eat right as human beings? Right? Like we know that. We know that. But when we're at a restaurant and we open up the menu, how many of you go straight with passion to the Weight Watchers section of the menu? One person in the room. The rest of us, we go right to the appetizers. Then we scan the sandwiches, right? Then we take a look and just peek at the desserts on what the end of our experience is going to be like, right? I mean, most of us, when we are at a restaurant and we look at a menu, how many know there are more unhealthy options than there are healthy options? And more times than not, we choose the unhealthy over the healthy. And that's just one small picture of the lifestyle many of us have, where we fill up on the junk instead of the juice. And today I want to talk about some juice that God wants inside of our lives. I want to talk about a fruit that God wants inside of our lives. I want to talk about the fruit of, I want to talk about the juice of prayer. And I want to say this, if you are not praying every day, if you are not drinking the juice of prayer every day, I guarantee you there is some serious spiritual malnutrition in your life right now. I would guarantee you that you have, if you are not drinking the juice of prayer every day, that you have some spiritual sicknesses that you're experiencing in your life, that you have some spiritual weaknesses in your life. And let me tell you that every day we wake up, we see prayer on the menu as believers. We see it there on the menu. But again, there are so many other things on that menu. And more often than not, we choose those other things instead of prayer. An hour in the bathroom, right? How many, that's 3 years of our lives down the toilet right there. Amen. You know, it's just astounding to me. Like when I see that video, when I think about this, like what nutrition, like what spiritual nutrients does our lives absorb from those other things? And I'm not saying those are bad things, but look at the amount of commitment. What spiritual nutrients do these things offer our lives compared to what we can absorb from prayer? Prayer is like this apple. Prayer in this talk is going to be an apple. And now there are a lot of nutrients inside of this apple, inside of the skin, even including the skin itself. A ton of good things that our bodies need, that our bodies require to grow and to be in strong health. And I mean that in more ways than we could possibly know, because I went and started to study the health benefits of apples. Just the health benefit of an apple. And I looked on the Journal for Nutrition. I looked at all these and everybody agrees that, listen, I'm going to share with you the top 15 health benefits of apples. First of all, they say that, and I'm talking just apples, that because of an apple, an apple, you get whiter, healthier teeth just from an apple. That what's in an apple causes your teeth to be whiter and healthier. An apple helps you avoid Alzheimer's. An apple, because it fights the effects of aging on the brain. An apple will help protect you against Parkinson's. Apples curb all sorts of cancers. Scientists from the American Association of Cancer Research says, among others, all agree that the nutrients found in apples can help reduce your risk of cancer, particularly pancreatic cancer, by up to 23%. Apples decrease the risk of diabetes. Apples reduce cholesterol. With an apple, you get a healthier heart. Apples help prevent gallstones. With an apple, you beat diarrhea and constipation. Apples help neutralize irritable bowel syndrome. Apples help avert hemorrhoids. Apples can control your weight. Apples detoxify your liver. Apples boost your immune system. And an apple is one of the strongest things to help prevent cataracts. That's just from an apple. Like, that's just from an apple, y'all. Like, think about that. I was like, what? And when I was looking at it, I was like, man, that is awesome. I'm eating apple all the time, right? You know what they say is that an apple a day keeps the nutritionist will tell you. And extensive research has proven that the apple is a preventative health fruit. Hope you hear what I just said. An apple is a preventative health fruit. That by ingesting an apple every day, you are guarding, you are protecting, you are equipping your body's strength and abilities for the future. And just like the apple, prayer is a preventative health fruit. By praying every day, how many know you are giving your life strength, not only for what you're currently in, but you're giving your life strength for what is to come. Let me say it like this, that when storms come, you are strong enough to stand and not be moved. I didn't say if storms come. How many know we all experience storms, but prayer is something, it's a preventative strength for you, that when it comes, you are strong enough to stand. When trials come, you will find yourself with strength to stand and endure. Let me say it this way. A praying person is a powerful person. Let's all say that together. A praying person is a powerful person. A praying person isn't chained up by doubt and unbelief. A praying person isn't bound by fear. I didn't say they don't battle fear, but a praying person isn't bound by fear. A praying person isn't struggling with a defeatist mentality. A praying person doesn't freak out when they can't see in front of them, because a praying person knows who's always above them. Come on, somebody. A praying person is a powerful person. Prayer is a preventative health fruit. And just like an apple a day keeps the doctor away, how many know praying every day keeps the pastor away? Amen. Praying every day keeps the psychologists away. Praying every day will give you so much strength, friends, for your future. You will find yourself equipped in ways that you never thought possible, because prayer is living on a strength that is not of your own. Prayer is power. Power spiritually. Power mentally. Power emotionally. Can I say this? Some of the most emotionally controlled people I know are praying people. You want to squeeze the most out of your day? Pray. Somebody needs to write that one down right there. Because an hour with God every day to your spirit is equal to all these apples in the health effect that they would have in your body if you took them, all these apples in your life in one day. More than enough. When you pray, you are getting the nutrients needed for your day. Prayer is rich in vitamins, man. Prayer is rich in vitamin B, man. I'm making stuff up right now. What is vitamin B? Vitamin B leaf. Like, you begin to believe, friends. You begin to understand. Prayer is a brain food. It tells your mind you can make it. It tells your heart it can take it. Boosts your confidence. It reveals your identity. And if all we're doing is consuming other things, then your life will be as a result of those other things and what those things can provide. But when you pray, you are living and experiencing results that only it can provide. You're living on a strength that's not your own. I want to tell you something, Journey Church. Drink the juice of prayer every day. Come on, somebody say a good amen. It's important for you to pray every day. And with that being so important, I think it's important just to kind of dig in to the remaining few minutes we have left on this talk to talk about how we should pray. Because if it's something we need to be doing every day, I mean, no, we should be doing it the right way. And I believe it's always good to go back and say, what should our prayer times look like? And so what I'm about to teach here in this remaining couple of minutes that we have, I have for you on the app, and I threw as many notes as I possibly could so you can take it with you and kind of continue to absorb them after today. But when asking what our prayer time should look like, there's no better scripture to go to than when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? Right? Because Jesus talked about prayer a lot, and the disciples are like, okay, that's cool, but how? What should my prayer time look like? Right? And so Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. We call it the Lord's Prayer, right? And they asked him, teacher, rabbi, how should we pray? And this is what he said in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Let's be Presbyterian one more time. Are you ready? Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, it's important to just break this down, because in the context of what we see here in verse 9, he said this is how you should pray. And I don't want that to be mistaken as this is a repeat after me every day. He didn't say that. He didn't say this is what you need to be saying when you pray. He said this is how. In other words, this is the context of a map, a guide, if you would. Make sure that the theme of what you hear in this prayer is the theme of your time when you pray. Verse 9, he starts out by saying what? Our Father. And I think it's so important, because we're going to be breaking down a lot of this. And I think a lot of times we see just pieces of this prayer. And listen, just a piece of this prayer is just like taking one bite of this apple. What we're about to go through is the whole thing, friends. And this is what we, and I'm telling you, because I think most of us, we just pray prayers like, gimme, 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 God, right? I need, I need, I need, I need. And it's just this list down a prayer list, right? Like heaven is just a request line, right? Like this is what I, and listen, that's, and some of us, that's what we make prayer. And listen, we're missing out on so much more. It's like just taking a small bite of an apple. You're missing out on the whole thing and what the whole apple was meant to give you. So let's break this down here. Let's juice this entire thing right here, right? Verse 9 says, our what? Our Father. We'll stop right there. We'll break just that part down. We're going to look at the juice that just comes out of that right there. Our Father. Meaning what? Meaning this is how we begin our prayers. This is talking about mindsets. Meaning we must understand that when we are praying, we are talking to a person. And not just any person. We are talking about a Father. We are talking about a caring person. A person that cares. And it's important that we know that, because there's a fine line between reverence before a holy God and a personal Father who wants to have an intimate relationship with us. We need to pray with this in mind. When we walk into prayer with this mindset, man, we are getting some juice out of that understanding. Because let me tell you something, our view of God affects how we approach God. Because if you view God as this big, distant, impersonal God, then that's how you're going to approach him. Right? Oh, please. Oh, please. God, 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 God. Do you hear? Me, me, me. Are you out there? There. Right? And if that's how you view God, your prayers are probably just like scratching lotto tickets, man. Just like, oh, I hope this works. Jesus didn't say, start with our impersonal, distant, reverent, holy God. He said, start out with what? Our Father. There's juice, man, to that mentality and that understanding that when you go to him, you are talking to your Father. The next part, our Father what? In heaven. Man, there is juice to that right there. Our Father in, look at that juice. Man, there is juice to that right there. Our Father in heaven. Where? Heaven. We must remember that when we pray, we are talking to a God that carries a perspective of our lives from heaven. That we're not just talking to anybody that has an earthly mindset and an earthly view of our lives. We're talking to somebody that views our life from the point of heaven. We're talking about that somebody that views our life and knows everything and sees everything. We're talking to somebody that knows everything. That blows me away. We're talking to somebody that sees everything. What does that mean? To me, that means I can relax. I can straight up relax. I don't know, that just kind of removes some tension from me. Because I'm talking to somebody that knows it all, that sees it all. Because man, if you know it all and see it all, that means you're in control of it all. And so Jesus, I believe, intentionally began this prayer by reminding us that he's our Father and that he's in heaven, where his perspective and view of our lives is perfect. Have you ever been to a football game and at halftime the band comes out, and sometimes the band has, you know, like they form a word or a picture, you know what I'm saying? And so like they look great, those pictures, that word. We can see it. It looks great from up in the stands. But have you ever thought about what that looks like from the sidelines? I've sat in the sidelines before when I've seen that. It looks pointless. It looks confusing. It looks apparently meaningless. We see life from the sidelines. We view life from the sidelines so many times, and God sees it from the stands. God has a perspective that is much bigger and better and greater than ours. And as we go into prayer, knowing who we are talking to, our Father in heaven, right? We begin to gain His perspective. We begin to leave the sidelines and start working our way up to seeing our lives from a view that is better. Come on, somebody. This is good stuff right here. How many know? If you're praying with this stuff in mind, you're starting to get a daily dose of some juice that's going to help grow you and take you to that health and wellness state God created for you. The last part of verse 9, our Father in heaven, what's the next word? Hallowed, right? Or hallowed be your name. However you pronounce it, really doesn't matter. It's not a word we use. I mean, when's the last time you used hallowed in your personal dialogue with somebody? No, none of us use that word anymore. What does that word mean? The word hallowed means this, sanctified or set apart from all evil. Let that just soak in. Hallowed means set apart from all evil. Wow. So what does that mean? If you walk into prayer knowing hallowed is your name, Jesus, the name is set apart from all you, who you are. What is your name? Your name represents you. It represents who you are. It represents your identity, that God is set apart from what? All evil. When I walk into prayer knowing that, it reminds me that God isn't the one causing the evil here that is perhaps happening in my life. That God is separated completely from evil. You ever prayed prayers like, God, why are you doing this to me when something bad is happening? Right? You see, that's praying in the wrong mindset. I've prayed that prayer before. Come on, let's not be holy, right? I'd be like, God, what are you doing here, you know? Like, what is going on here, you know? But when I walk in with the right mindset, I start to realize that a lot of times my mess is because of me. Right? Not even the devil. I think we blame the devil for things that we're the ones that screwed it up. You know, like, it was his fault. And the devil's like, no, look at me, man. They are screwed up on their own. You are good, right? I didn't really do much over there. Come on, somebody. I think we just need to look within here and not blame God for things, but go to God for these things and these messes we often find ourselves in. If he's completely separated from evil, when we connect to him, we become separated from those times. Man, I'm telling you, that did I juice that part? Let's juice that right there, man. That is some good stuff right there. We got to understand, hallowed be your name. Man, there is juice that comes with just knowing that God is not the cause of the evil in your life. Let's look at verse 10. Which is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Woo-wee! Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. I've spent a half hour before I've spent maybe more than that, trying to live that out in a time of prayer. Because a lot of times I come into prayer with what I want, and what I want to do with my hands on the wheel of how I think my life should go, right? Anybody with me in that one? Six of you? Amen. The rest of you, you're so holy. Man, that is awesome. I need to team with you better. You know, but, man, sometimes I'll just go into prayer like, oh, this is what I want. But this right here reminds me that this kingdom is not mine. This is his kingdom. And guess what? I'm not the king. I like to think I am sometimes, but I'm not. He is. That I got to take my will, my emotions, my wants, and sometimes they don't sync up with His will and His emotions and His way of doing things. And it's in those moments where I have to say, Your will be done on earth. What does that mean? Right here in this geographical location where I am, I want to be living out the will and plan and map of heaven. Amen. Not my own. I want to do what You want to do. And I'm telling you what, there is some power. There is some juice. I'm telling you, behind that one right there, I'm talking big time. If we come into prayer, I mean, no, sometimes, this is revealing, sometimes we just take little bites. But there's a whole apple here that God wants to put, more than enough that God wants to put inside of our lives. Man, a lot of times I live that prayer out by just asking a question. You know, God, what do You want me to do today in my life? Be surprised how many times we don't ask that question, man. God, what do You want me to do today in my life? How do You want me to react? How do You want me to live? What words do You want me to say? I don't want to live on my own way, because my way, I always end up in a corner somewhere ticked off. But Your way, somehow I always arrive at a dream. I always arrive at success. I always arrive at a place of provision. Man, how many know this takes way more than just less than 10 minutes a day? I mean, if you're syncing up your life and your will with the will of God, that takes some time. Verse 11, what does it say? Give us today our what? Daily bread. Now, this right here is good stuff. And this right here, I think, is what many of us do really well. And this is the part of the verse where Jesus is talking about, all right, if you need something, ask me. And I think this is where we get off balance as Christians, because I think this is what we've made the majority of our prayer times, is this prayer list, right? I need You to do this. I need You to do that. Will You please do this? Will You please do that? Do this, do this, do this, do that, do that, do that. And like heaven is a request line. I live in heaven, you know. Yeah, I get like an order of, you know, just patience, please. I'm struggling and my back's kind of hurting. If You could help out with that, that'd be fine. All right, we'll send it right over. Thanks so much. You know, it's like, I think that's what we think sometimes. Just have, but that isn't what Jesus is saying. This one little line right here is just one little line inside of so much more that prayer needs to be. And I don't want anybody to feel guilty for that, like we just do our request, because He's saying it's a good thing. There is juice in bringing our request to Him. If you need something, go to Him for it. Ask Him for it. But don't make that just the time you spend with Him. That's just a small part of what makes up the juice of prayer. Verse 12, and let's all say this next word together. Forgive us our debts. Now, Matthew calls it debts. Luke calls it sins. Right? They both kind of mean the same thing here. Like, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts, God. And it doesn't stop there. It says, as we, what? Also have forgiven. He's tying the forgiveness we get to the forgiveness we give. I'm going to use a green apple for that one. The sour ones, you know what I'm saying? Ones you kind of got to muscle down. Like, listen, I think some people had some problems when they heard this scripture back then, because you see Jesus talking a little bit more on it. He actually says in a couple verses, you got that scripture? They're probably like, what the heck do you mean? And here's what Jesus expounds on. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. Don't think that you can go to the prayer time. Don't think you can go to the Lord and just celebrate His forgiveness, which how many know? He has forgiven. But listen, He's saying you can't go there and just celebrate the forgiveness of God if you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody else. And I see people do this a lot in life. I hate you, but I love the Lord. right? But I hate you, Jesus, you know? You're so good, and you suck, you know, back there. You're just so awesome, and I hate your guts, you know? This is fantasy if that's how you really feel. There ain't no forgiveness happening here. Think about that just for a second. The forgiveness you receive is directly related to the forgiveness you give. And there is juice to that, meaning a portion, a healthy portion of our prayer times need to be spent specifically just looking on the forgiveness of God and looking at forgiving others to ensure our lives are in check, because bitterness and unforgiveness are poisons. Doug Reed said it best in February of this year. He said, bitterness is drinking the poison and hoping they die, when really you're only hurting yourself. You think you're hurting them? You are hurting you. I'm hurting me. Man, that's some juice to drink. And like I said, there's notes there in that app. Verse 13, finally. And lead us, right? And let's all say that next two words together. Lead us, right? Lead us not into temptation. Man, there is juice in that prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Somebody sing, Jesus, take the wheel. Come on, sing it. Take it from my hands. I can't do this on my own. Right? I know I'm good. You don't got to tell me that. Amen. That's essentially what I'm talking about, though. That's what that scripture means right there. It was a prophecy to Carrie Underwood's song right there. Like, that's what it's talking about. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. Right? You, God, have to lead me. Not into temptation. A healthy portion of our prayer time should always be strategizing with Him on how we can beat temptation and how we can win in encounters with challenge. For example, I'm a very passionate person. If you haven't noticed, I am passionate, man. I'm just passionate by nature, which means I live emotions to the extreme. And when I experience emotions, they are all 100%, man. They are all 250 mph down the highway, man. I if I'm happy, I'm happy. When I'm sad, I'm sad. I'm extreme, y'all. And when I'm angry, right? I'm a very passionate person, which means sometimes I can overreact with the wrong emotions, especially with anger and annoyance. Especially during allergy season. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just need some Allegra D so that you don't take a bat to somebody's knee. Amen. You just need that. You can write that down. That's free. Amen. But, like, I found myself here in just the past couple of weeks just having trouble just reacting wrong. And so I have found myself in prayer just asking God, what do I need to do? Just praying that last part of that, in addition to all the other stuff, but taking that time going, lead me, God. I don't want to fall into the traps of temptation by overreacting wrong in anger and saying things you don't mean. And you know what I'm talking about. Help me, God. Help me win. I don't want to fall into those traps. I don't want to losing temptation and the evil one has a hold on me. I don't want to lose. I want to win. Man, there's juice in that right there. So back to the purpose of this series. Like, I'm trying to break this down where you get why you need this. You saw the health benefits what an apple does. And I just shared with you some of the benefits of what prayer does. That's just some. Why you need this. Well, I drank way too much in the last service. I was chugging. That right there is about an apple. That's probably an apple and a half. Right? It's just... Oh, man. That is super good. Oh, it's so good. And do you realize what I just put into my body? Do my teeth look whiter? Like they feel. I feel like a glow. That's probably just my head. But, like, I just put things in my body that are helping me in my future. I'm telling you, friends, prayer. I can't get it to you any more than I have. It blesses your future so much. And many of the, and please hear me when I say this, many of the problems in your life today could very well be there because of what you've not been doing. And I'm not saying problems don't come to praying people. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is with stats like what we saw in that video, a menial less than 10 minutes a day with the creator of the universe, no wonder so many people are overwhelmed with the challenges they experience in life. No wonder. No wonder. So here's what I'm saying. Let's make time for the juice of prayer. Would you close your eyes just for a moment? Just segregate yourself off from those around you right now. In your mind, it's just you and Jesus. What's your prayer life look like? Can I tell you there are seasons, and this is as your pastor, because I'm not interested in projecting myself as holy all the time. I'm real. And there are seasons in my life where I'm so busy, sometimes there are days that look just like that. I'll squeeze in 10, sometimes maybe 5. And they look like just verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Can I tell you, in those seasons where my prayer times are starved, those are the seasons where I find myself succumbing to stress and struggles and pain hurts more. People offend more. I'm filled with more stress than Thanksgiving. I'm filled with more doubt than belief. I'm filled with more anger than joy. And God's saying, the juice is there. Just drink it. Just drink it. Put it in your life every day. And so I just want to encourage you to do this. Just in the next couple of seconds, because we're going to be dismissing you in just a moment. In the next couple of seconds, just right where you're at, just you don't got to scream this. You can whisper it. You can think it. God hears the whispers of your thoughts. But just say, Lord, let what I just heard today be a regular part of my spiritual diet every day. Let my times with you be that. I want to grow. I want to grow. Go on, just tell him that. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every person in this room, Lord, that's praying a very, very sincere prayer. And Father, I pray.